independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Thanks for tuning into the Chad Benson Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in today. Give me a call, 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. Talking about cursive, there's this movement to try to bring cursive back to the schools. And it's based on information that the thought process that, now, it's a skewed thought process, and I'll tell you why. They talked to University of Washington professor Virginia Beringer. Now, remember, the movement is to try to bring cursive back. That's the flowing, you know, like your signature and everything like that. And so they start citing these studies. Now, I want to make sure I'm clear here. I'm not against teaching kids how to write. I think kids need to learn how to write. But I think printing is perfectly acceptable. I think printing is perfectly 100% acceptable. And there are these studies now, and school districts all over the place are trying to bring cursive back and make it part of the main curriculum in order to try to teach kids how to write in cursive, which is a waste of time. It's a dead language. You don't need it. It's irrelevant. In the day and age where we have keyboards and iPads and cell phones and the like, you don't need cursive. And talk testing, you just don't need it. A lot of people have trouble letting go, but you don't need it anymore. But I am 100% in favor of teaching kids how to write. Because in order to write, you'll learn how to read and all that kind of stuff. Now, in order to save cursive, they skew some of the things they're talking about. All right? And I'll give you an example. This University of Washington professor Virginia Beringer said, there's a myth that in the era of computers, we don't need handwriting. That's not what our research is showing. What we found was that children until about grade 6 were writing more words, writing faster, and expressing more ideas if they could use handwriting, printing, or cursive than if they use a keyboard. Note, the push is to bring back cursive. But the studies show that any kind of writing with your hand, including printing, is what's valuable. Cursive is just a form of it. So we do not need cursive, which is what they're trying to bring back, which is a waste of time in schools, again, because we're in an era where you simply don't need it anymore. I'm 100% in favor of teaching kids how to write. I'm in favor of teaching kids how to sign their names. But taking valuable class time away in order to teach what amounts to a dead language is just that, a waste of time. Why don't we teach them Latin? Why don't we have Native Americans and come in and teach them the language of the Sioux India or something like that, something else they'll never need. We'll find a few more dead languages that they don't need and teach them that. I realize there's a disconnect as technology tries to take over. I realize that there's a level of fear, I guess, for lack of a better word, among some people. Heck, even I'm in my early mid-40s. Doesn't mean that you're comfortable giving that up. But I'm sitting here as a person who hasn't written anything outside of my signature in cursive since I was 12 years old. So if you're teaching me that in but I print stuff, I write, make the letters with my hand, print. And again, they're playing sort of semantical games with the languages here. I do that every day. So teach them how to write, print, but stop wasting our time with cursive. Teach them how to sign their name, which is also something they're probably not going to need for too much longer. Thumbprints, retina scans, fingerprints, all that kind of stuff is going to take over eventually out of ease. You may not like it. It's just reality. It's just what it is. I'd rather the kids learn science. I'd rather they learn math. I'd rather they learn history. Things that they're actually going to need as they move forward in life, as opposed to teaching them a dead language that once they reach a certain age level, again, still a child, they won't ever use again. Because you're wasting their time, and you're wasting our time, and you're allowing them to fall further behind in school. Let's go to the phones. Talk to Adam in Indiana. Hey, Adam. You're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey.
Hey, Casey. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Doing all right, man.
Hey, so on a day-to-day basis, like, yes, we don't use cursive, but one of the most important things that I think we're forgetting to talk about during this conversation is that some of the historic documents that our country is founded on, mm-hmm. such as the Constitution and Bill of Rights, is written in cursive. Mm-hmm. So if we remove generations of people that have the ability to read and write in cursive, we remove the ability for those people to interpret the Constitution for themselves. And
Adam, that the Bible was originally not written in English, right?
I do understand that. And
so
I think
that means that somebody
that,
translated it. I have a copy of the Constitution in book form. It's actually in a leather book form, and it's all printed. It's not like the handwritten thing. There will always be people who know it. And like I said, if somebody wants to take that as an elective when they get older, more power to them. And they'll be able to read the historical documents. But there's never going to be a time when people won't be able to read the Constitution. They may not be able to read the Constitution, but there's never going to be a time when people won't be able to read the Constitution.
Interpretation of it, which, but
no,
then
no,
again,
no.
They read somebody else's interpretation of it, which
is not
the exact document.
No. That's not true at all. You'll be able to get a word for word transcription of it. That I know because I have one. So
to
what's that?
I said, have you compared the two documents?
No, I don't. They're the exact same words. They're just one's in handwriting on parchment, the other one's in a book. The exact same words.
Fair enough. I mean, yeah, we can agree to disagree, but I think that it is important to have that.
Well, you may think so, Adam, but unfortunately, just by my way of thinking, not for the reasons that you're saying. Because they'll be able to read the Constitution, the exact wording in the Constitution. All right? Again, I know I have it. Heck, we could even make a law if you wanted to, saying that any translation of the Constitution has to be word for word, if you want to, just to make sure we preserve the document. We can make that rule if we need to. I don't think we need to, but we can. But to suggest that if we stop teaching cursive, we'll forget the Constitution, I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, I mean,
my biggest point. I think it's a valid point, but, we can always take somebody else's interpretation of the document
Interpretation is different than transcription. All right. You're talking about two different things. That would be somebody taking, rewriting the words of the Constitution to sort of lean them the way they want to. The copy I have of the Constitution, and they're out there all over the place because I've seen them all over the place. I've read the Constitution many times in my life. I minored in history in college, American history in college. You get an exact word-for-word reproduction of the Constitution, simply not in handwriting. So, you know, you're talking about interpretation, and I'm talking about transcription. That's two different things.
Understood.
Thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. I appreciate that. Let's go to Keith. Hey, Keith, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey Bartholomew. How you doing?
All right. How's it going, Casey?
Pretty good, man.
Hey, I'm calling as a pretty well-educated, business degree. My wife's, valedictorian, very educated. My wife's a teacher, very educated. And we had a situation very similar to this where our daughter, who is somewhat struggling in school, they wanted to, and they actually had it at the school, a mandatory cursive. Well, I pretty much flipped my lid. I mean, what do we even need this for? This is ridiculous. We could talk in Dragon and have everything printed out and print, but she's struggling at printing and she's struggling at reading. And they had a few people that said, no, it can help. I'm thinking, how is it going to help when she's struggling writing and now we're going to do cursive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had to eat my words, man. And that's why I wanted to call and share. You know what? In some cases, maybe more, maybe less, I don't know. But it unbelievably changed everything for her. And the reason being is that the motor movement and development, as you're reading, as you're writing, she could print, but it was crappy. So for her to have to go through and start writing in cursive, it was painful at the first, but it was unbelievable how it helped her in reading and writing. Verbally, the kid's off the charts. I mean, she is, and that's where it is. She's off the charts verbally. I mean, she'll talk the shoes off anybody.
And my daughter's like that too.
But when it came to writing and reading, she really struggled. So, okay, there was a mismatch. How can you be an outstanding verbally above two grades above your other students and then be like two grades behind writing? So, okay, there is a situation there. There is a learning disability, obviously. But it was amazing how much cursive helped her. And I tell you, I was pissed. I was literally pissed because I was wrong.
Well, all I'll tell you about that, Keith, is that what you're talking about happening is 100% true. But the same parts of the brain that work for cursive work for printing, too. And I can't, maybe there was some motor skill issues. Maybe there was some physical therapy. I don't know. I don't know your daughter. I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of your little girl here at all. Because my daughter was in the same boat as far as being mostly verbal. But the same thought processes that work for handwriting work for actual printing in the brain. They've done the studies. That's why when they bring out the studies, they're kind of fast and loose with the handwriting, they call it. Well, handwriting is also printing. That's why specifically cursive, there's no difference. There's no measurable difference based on the studies they've done overall. Now, I'm not going to discount. I wasn't with your daughter, so I'm not going to discount what you went through. That's great. Maybe you could get, you know, anybody who had that problem could get some private tutoring for their kid. But the same thing should have happened using printing. And if that's true, then why do we stop using cursive at a very young age when the only logical argument that could be used is that you would that would also benefit the kid later on in life all the way through high school? Same thing should be happening. Printing and handwriting is the same thing. Printing and cursive do the same things in the brain because you're still making the letters. You're still making the numbers, the whole nine yards. All right, Keith, thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. Let's go to Mary Beth in Arizona. Hey, Mary Beth, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey Bartholomew. How you doing?
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm calling. I do agree with the first two callers as well. I understand your point that you use your signature most of the time in this day.
For cursive,
world.
You know, for the most part, in all honesty,
right.
I mean, I sign my name. If I'm going to write and I'm signing my name,
right.
That's all I do. I almost never sign my name. I'm like writing emails. I don't write letters anymore.
I am 46 years old who works in the medical field, and I write in cursive. I write orders. I write everything in cursive.
But you don't have to.
If don't teach it and you have some people come in who may not know because it's not being taught, even if you work in, say, internal medicine,
mm-hmm.
where the doctors see, you know, younger pediatricians see younger students or, you know, age and wise, but you still need to know how to read cursive. I homeschool, and my son does not do any of his homeschooling on the computer. His is strictly books. I taught him in third grade to start writing in cursive.
Uh-huh.
And he's been doing it, and he's going on 11, starting sixth grade.
That's great.
And he writes everything in cursive, reads in cursive.
It's terrific.
And I still think it should, and instead of concentrating so much on art, I think that should be an elective. Because not all students want to take art class, or not
but,
all students
you know what?
Want to take.
I agree with you on art. I don't see, and my daughter is an artist, by the way. She wants to be a computer animator when she gets older. My daughter is an artist. I agree with you, but the same argument for cursive can be used for art, and the people who are in favor of keeping art in the schools as not an elective but as part of the primary curriculum have the same argument that you would be saying in that, you know, it helps the brain, it helps creativity, all this kind of stuff. Bottom line is, if you want to take cursive, Mary Beth, thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. If you want to take cursive, if you want your kid to take cursive, let them. Take it as an elective. Sign them up for a tutor. More power to you. I feel the same way about art. If you want your kid to take art, get them art lessons. That's what I did for my kid. All right? I 100% support that. But in a time when kids are falling behind in math, science, and the disciplines that they're going to really need in order to excel in the world, I don't see the point of wasting class time on cursive writing when it is, for all intents and purposes, a dead language. Now, we're in that point where we're going to have that divide where if some people still write in cursive and you're going to need somebody around who could read it, there will always be somebody around who could read it. But eventually, I'm here to tell you, cursive is going to die. When my son, who's 9 years old, is my age, I doubt he'll ever come into contact with anybody under the age of 75 that writes religiously in cursive. It's simply not going to happen. All right, 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in for Chad Benson, and you are listening to the Chad Benson Show.
Irreverent? Yeah. So what? It's the Chad Benson Show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Chad Benson Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in today. Give me a call, 844-344-2423. It's 844-DIG-CHAD. Also be in tomorrow and Thursday as well. Hey, Chad's coming back, and then everything will be right with the world. All right, right now we're taking your phone calls on the proliferation of devices, iPads, phones, computers, laptops, whole nine yards. And what it's causing is the death of cursive writing, but there's a good reason for it, because we don't need cursive writing anymore. It's a dead language. I think we should teach kids how to sign their names, but if they learn how to print, they will get all the same benefits, psychologically, mentally, whatever, however you want to put it, intellectually, that they would as writing cursive. So pick one. More beneficial to have kids print. I haven't written anything of note in cursive since I was 12 years old outside of my signature, so we don't need it anymore. Let's go to Ken in Vegas. Hey, Ken, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey. How you doing?
Hey, Casey.
Hey.
You know, I'm 99% with you on this whole cursive thing, okay? However, the big thing is I learned how to write cursive. We spent way too much time on it in school.
Right.
But for all the young men out there, learn to write in cursive. When you write a girl a love letter in cursive, write it 2-3 times, get it right, put a stamp on it. She will keep it forever, and it'll pay dividends. That's all I, you know, that's the best way to say that.
Can't you just write, can't you just like text them, OMG, you're hot? Y-E-R, hot.
No, you know.
and then put some emojis.
I've never heard of a girl. I've never heard of writing out a sexy email or a text. Okay, but she reads her love letter. You're going to get dividends. And a year later, she's going through her special thing.
Yeah.
And reads that letter again. Guess what? You're going to get paid dividends again.
Dividend. Is that what the kids are calling it these days? Dividends? All right, Ken, thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. I can't disregard what Ken is saying. All I will say is that, you know, it's like taking dance class or something if you want to put the moves on a girl, okay? You use what you have. If you got cursive, you use it. If you don't, if they're interested, they'll go the other way. All right, we got more coming up. Good point. We got more coming up. You're listening to the Chad Benson Show. I'm Casey Bartholomew, sitting in for Chad Benson on the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Thanks for tuning in to the Chad Benson Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in today. I'll also be here tomorrow and Thursday as well. Give me a call. 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. We've been talking about the idea that cursive is unnecessary. A lot of school districts bringing it back. Pointless. Waste of time. Absolute, complete, and utter waste of time. Because the studies they cite about the cognitive benefits of writing. They say handwriting. They're playing semantical games. Now, when I was a kid, handwriting was cursive, and printing was just actual writing. What they're trying to do now is saying that handwriting is the same thing. Obviously, kids need to learn how to write, but we can teach them how to print. If we absolutely need to, we can teach them how to write their name out in cursive. Take a day. Make them write it every day, you know, for a year. Take 2 seconds. And then we can get to the things that they need to know when it comes to the actual curriculum of the school. But a lot of people are afraid. And that's what this is, by the way. This is fear of cursive going away. People are afraid because they learned it. Everybody else needs to learn it. I haven't written in cursive in over 30 years. Anything outside of my signature. And now with keyboards and iPads and phones and the like, we don't need it anymore. If you want to take it as an elective, and if you want your kid to learn it, more power to you. Go for it. Like I said, I feel the same way about a caller brought it up. His name was Keith, I think, who brought up the idea of, if you want art, teach your kid art. Get your kid a tutor, take art as an elective, whatever you need to do. If you want your kid to learn cursive, same thing. Knock yourself out. But don't waste class time on it. When our schools are falling behind and our kids can't even go into McDonald's and make change, you want to see fear? Absolute terror enter a 16-year-old's eyes? Go into McDonald's and have the order be something like, I don't know, $4.82. Hand them $5.02 so that you can get, you know, two dimes back, 20 cents. And watch fear wash it. Watch their skin actually go ashen in fear as they try to figure out what to do with that. It's actually fun when I don't have anything to do on weekends. That's what I do. I drive around. I get a lot of fast food, so I'm fat. But still, I have fun doing it. If we could take the time we're using to waste our children's time teaching them cursive, then maybe they could do math, and then maybe they wouldn't want crying home from Taco Bell because they didn't know how to make change and were publicly humiliated. 844-344-2423. Let's go to Bob in Florida. Hey, Bob, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey Bartholomew. How you doing?
I'm doing good. I love that last comment about the change. It's so true.
Oh, you ever want to see it happen? Just if you ever want to just mess with a kid, just give them like $5 and a couple of pennies and watch the terror wash over their face.
And you're right. We actually bought some furniture in California to use the furniture store, and the kid figured out the tax, and the tax was more than the total purchase of the furniture. Uh-huh. And he was dead set serious that that was correct, and he didn't have the common sense to figure out that that was wrong.
The tax was more than the okay.
Yeah, because he had fat finger syndrome on the calculator or whatever it was, but he didn't have enough sense to realize, and he was dead serious. But that's another aside.
Yes.
The point is, the first syllable of cursive is curse. You're right. You're right. You're 100% right. I agree. A couple of things. You know, it occurred to me that keyboards and software programs like Office 2010 or any of the other software programs, in the font list, they include a few cursive-type fonts. And if people want to learn how the quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog list in cursive, just type it out on the keyboard, and you'll look at the screen, and there it is in cursive.
Mm-hmm. And if it's important enough, you'll figure it out.
And unless software developers decide to eliminate that from their font list, you know. Yeah.
And, you know, there's another thing, too, Bob. I mean, I know the cursive alphabet, and with a few exceptions, like I never figured out why a capital Q looks like a number two. I've never been able to figure that one out. But if you know how to print, odds are you could and you learn the words and everything, odds are you can figure out handwriting. You could make it out. You know, I mean, it's not that far off, okay? You know, like Z doesn't really look like Z, you know. But with rare exception, for the most part, they all look kind of the same.
You're right. You remember the old lined paper with the blue solid lines and the pink middle line, and you just go above or below by a certain distance and all that.
Yeah.
Another thing that just occurred to me is the fact that doing away with it might eliminate forgery.
But, you know, if I wanted to make an argument, and, you know, just being completely honest here, I would probably make that sort of thing easier because, you know, in my job at radio stations, I have to fill out a lot of affidavits and things like that. And my signature is just my name typed into the computer. And then I click yes. And that's my signature. So anybody could walk in there and do that. It would drive everybody crazy. So I guess that could make it easier. But that's why they have things like, you know, I mean, your forgery is easy. Anybody looks at a signature now, and anybody can doctor up a signature. It would be better, an argument could be made, that it would be better to use thumbprints or retina scans or whatever they can do these days, you know, DNA samples, whatever.
Sure.
Right, just spit on something, and then they get their DNA, and then you could go. That's gross, but... you know, I'm sure it could work. All right, Bob, thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. I appreciate it. Let's go to Phil in Indiana. Hey, Phil, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey Bartholomew. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I'm a teacher, and I'm an educational technology researcher.
Wow.
And you just don't understand how school or the brain works. So I understand your claim is that you don't use it now, and so it must be useless, which is the same argument that, you know, I've been making for 30 years about my algebra lessons. But learning algebra, learning cursive, learning art, all of these collectively pool together into a better cognitive performance on the part of every little student. So that's the exact, like the caller that called in and said, hey, my daughter did much better once she took time to focus on cursive. And I know you're saying that's the same as writing print.
Well, that's what the studies show.
But there's really a differential. There's a differential between intentional, formal, whether you call it cursive or script, and the difference between that and what you learn when you're in kindergarten and you can make your letters. There's a difference there. In fact, what
you still have to make the effort. Your brain still has to make the effort to make the letter. And I mean, I'm not just talking off the top of my head. One of the experts that they cite in all of these studies is a person out of the University of Washington, a professor named Virginia Barringer, and she's the one that is making the connection between printing or handwriting, they call it. And again, they're playing fun semantical games there because they know my generation, the Gen Xers, handwriting was cursive. Now they're using handwriting to be printing and cursive. So they're trying to make that connection there.
Hear me on this. Once the brain normalizes from cursive to your functional script, okay, from like your high end, like what nobody actually writes anymore, unless they're a calligrapher, from that, and it normalizes into the way you write normally, that is much different. That is a different cognitive state than what you were before.
So you're telling me that I get a better education by learning cursive as opposed to printing?
Yeah.
That's not what the studies show.
No, you're not reading this. You're claiming that because it's
not claiming anything. I'm telling you what an expert at the University of Washington, professor who they're citing in all this stuff, who's done extensive studies on this. I'm telling you what she's saying.
You have a call-in radio show and you're making an argument. You have a claim.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Thank you for telling me what my job is. Can I write that down? Thank you. Gone? All right, he's gone. All right, he hung up. All right. Phil, thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. His panties in a bunch because I tell him the facts of what's going on here. I understand what you're saying, Phil. Okay, Phil's trying to say that there's a different brain, a cognitive brain function when it comes to cursive writing as opposed to printing. All I'm telling you is that when they write these studies, okay, I've got the information right here in front of me, and he's an educator. I'll defer to him on many things, but they've got the University of Washington professor Virginia Barringer, who is the person they cite in all of this. He's a leading expert in the field of handwriting education research who has done extensive work with students at elementary school. And she says that learning handwriting improves kids' ability to think, which I do not doubt, by the way. Okay? So really, Phil, I know Phil got mad. And that's fine. Phil's allowed to get mad. That's okay. We're allowed to disagree, even though you wouldn't know it by looking at what's the state of the country right now. But I'm here to tell you that based on what she said, based on what this expert in the field is saying, the same brain function and the same hand movements are used in printing that are used in handwriting, that are used in cursive. And again, for purposes of furthering an agenda, which is where they want to bring the cursive back, or they want to make sure it's part of the curriculum so everybody uses it, they're playing funny semantic games when it comes to this by saying that handwriting, which you and I, for, you know, like I said, I'm a Gen Xer, you and I would know as what they're calling cursive, but for purposes of their argument, handwriting is the same thing. Handwriting is printing or cursive, so it's the same thing. Let's go to Jerry in Indiana. Hey, Jerry, you're on the Chad Benson Show with Casey Bartholomew. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Casey. Hey, I had a question for you. You said you're a proponent of spending the time that people learn cursive to on math and science?
Or something that they'll use,
I got to ask you, why do you have to teach the elementary math that's taught today? Everybody's got a phone. Everybody's got a calculator on their phone. Addition, subtraction, multiplication, division.
Right.
Why do you have to learn that? Because you can plug it into your calculator and do it.
Well, for time saving, it teaches a cognitive ability. It teaches problem solving skills. There's a bunch of varieties to math and such that people don't get right on the surface.
Your calculator can do that, and if you have a scientific calculator, it can do trigonometry. I mean,
did you not listen to my answer?
It's the same basic. Pardon me?
Did you not listen to my answer?
Yeah,
or did you just ignore it? Because I say
no,
you teach cognitive problem-solving skills, steps to solving a problem. That's what algebra does. You don't necessarily know algebra. It's teaching you steps to problem-solving.
I didn't say algebra. I said simple basic math. You can go straight on to faster stuff.
Same thing. I said algebra. It's the same thing. You're teaching the steps to solving a problem. It's teaching a cognitive ability there.
You're teaching the steps to learning history by reading handwritten letters that the history of this world is based on by being able to read it yourself and analyze it.
You're the second person to make that argument. You can get those letters and you can get them, a transcription of them. Like I said to the last person that said that, they were afraid that we wouldn't ever be able to read the Constitution again. I have at least one. I probably have more printed in book form, printed in just book print and printing copies of the Constitution. I can read the exact same words that are in the Constitution, but they're not handwritten. They're not in cursive.
I agree with you on the Constitution. That's a lame argument. I'm talking about handwritten letters during the Civil War, handwritten letters during World War II that are handed down through your family. Who's going to read those to you when a generation down line, nobody knows it?
But you think it would not be possible to get them read? Is that what you think?
When we're going to have... What, you're going to have a handful of people in the country that know cursive because it's not taught?
So you have to go to a university. People are going to know cursive because you'll be able to take it as an elective. It'll be like, like I said before, we can teach it as a second language. If people want to take it or if you want your kid to take it, you can make that choice. I wouldn't waste my kid's time with it, but maybe you want to. And if you want to, more power to you. Go for it.
Yeah, I believe the same argument for math can be made for cursive. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Then you don't understand the benefit you get from math.
I do understand it. I'm an engineer. I've got almost a math major.
Then you're teaching more than just math when you're teaching math. And I'm not against teaching how to write. And I'm not against teaching how to write because, again, the same brain functions and cognitive and intellectual skills that you get from printing are the same ones you get from cursive. And since I haven't written anything out in cursive in over 30 years, and I get the exact same brain function, according to the experts, by printing, what's the point?
I'm not making a point on brain function.
No, I'm asking you what the point is. If you get the exact same brain function by learning both, what's the point in learning both when nobody writes in cursive anymore?
The point is being able to read your grandfather's letters.
Then take a class.
To be able to read Civil War letters.
Take a class. Make the decision to take your own class. I think that's a great field of interest. My father's a Civil War buff. Reads that stuff all the time. If you want to learn how to do that, all you got to do is learn how to read cursive. And it's like I said, and Jerry, I got a break. Thanks for calling the Chad Benson Show. It's like I said before, all right? The alphabet isn't that different. I know there's a couple of letters that are different. They said the capital Q looks like a number 2 for some reason, and Z, I don't know where they got Z. But for the most part, if you look at it, I think for the most part, people who know how to write, who know how to print, would be able to look at it and in a pretty short period of time figure that out if they wanted to. Because for the most part, most of the letters are pretty much the same, I think. All right? Now, of course, I'm somebody who knows both. But still, I don't see the point of wasting a person's time. All right, 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in for Chad Benson. You are listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's The Chad Benson Show.
And thanks for tuning into The Chad Benson Show. My name is Casey Bartholomew. I'm sitting in. Give me a call, 844-344-2423. That's 844-DIG-CHAD. I'll also be here tomorrow and Thursday as well. And then I'll be gone, and everything will be right with the world. And everybody who got sad because I disagreed with them will be happy. Right now, I want to share this real quick story with you, just because it caught my ear because of something that happened to me on a plane about 2 months ago. But right here, a United flight from Chicago to Jacksonville, Florida, was delayed because somebody was bringing a ferret onto the plane. The passenger claimed that the ferret was her service animal, which is something that people are doing with alarming regularity. I don't know if you've flown a lot lately. Because of what I do for a living and where I have to do it, I fly all the time. There was one year and a half period of my life where I was on a plane every weekend, and I noticed none of this. But now this is happening all the time, where people realized that they could classify their pet as a service animal, and claim, you know, a vague version of post-traumatic stress or something, which is a smack in the face of the people who actually have PTSD, by the way. These people were like, oh, my gosh, you know, I once went out in public and I was wearing the different color shoes. And oh, my God. And now, you know, my Great Dane helps me deal with that. So I need to have him on the plane. So you end up getting on an airplane now. It's like stinking Noah's Ark half the time. So this woman was claiming that her ferret was her service animal. In the end, she was allowed to board. She was allowed to bring her ferret, I guess because nobody wanted to deal with the fact. And it's so easy to get paperwork for any stinking animal that you want to bring on the plane. Now, I realize some people need service animals, but some people just love Mr. Whiskers and would perish the thought of them traveling in the cargo hold. A couple weeks ago, I got on the plane with somebody who had a service or a therapy duck. And all it did was quack and make little duck noises the entire flight. It was a 2.5 hour flight. And I had to listen to somebody's therapy duck. Now, I realize there can be therapy ducks, but I'm willing to bet that this woman did not have a therapy duck. She had a pet duck. People need to start learning the difference between a therapy animal and their pet that they don't want to put in the cargo hold. All right, my name is Casey Bartholomew, sitting in for Chad Benson, and you are listening to The Chad Benson Show.
This is The Chad Benson Show.